On the Chof Elul, Rabbi David Abachasis, the Torah written in stone.
We had in this week's parsha that we just read a strange mitzvah, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Am Yisrael that before they cross the river Jordan, he tells them and he warns them and he says, "You have to write the Torah on stones, as is written." V'haya b'yom asher tavru et hayarden, the day you cross the river Jordan, el ha'aretz asher Hashem noten, Hashem Elokecha noten lecha v'hakimot alecha avanim, you shall establish stones gedolot. The Torah emphasizes that the stones were very big. V'satta otam basid, you shall cover them in lime. V'katavta lehem et kol divrei haTorah, and you shall write on it the whole Torah. The Rishonim have a machloikis amongst themselves what was written on the stones. Rav Sadia Gaon writes that the only thing they wrote on the stones to make it more natural was only the mitzvahs in a poetic form. Like there's a book called, he mentions a book called Behag, Baal Hilchot Gedoilos. So all the 613 commandments are written in a very short form. Rav Sadia Gaon said that's what's written. The Torah says very clearly here, et kol divrei haTorah, the whole of the Torah, and most Rishonim seem to say that the entire Torah was actually written. And in fact, there are midrashim from Chazal that contradict what Rav Sadia Gaon, and we see that the whole Torah, entire Torah was written. It was obviously not a natural phenomenon, and I tell you it was a natural phenomenon. Because as you're crossing the River Jordan, on that day you have to write the Torah. And it was written on 70 languages. Not only in Hebrew, but in 70 languages. Now, you know, a Sefer Torah takes a long time to write. It takes a Sefer maybe a year to write. So to write the whole of the Torah on stone, plus translate it into 70 languages, is not a natural phenomenon that it should be written on the day that they're crossing the river. So I'd like to look at the Gemara in Masechet Zoita, where the Gemara discusses the whole episode of what happened at that incident. Why was the Torah written on stone? And it seems, according to the Gemara, that it wasn't once. It was more than once. The Gemara in Zoita Daf Lamed He discusses the whole episode, and it says like this: Nimseta ta'omer shelosha minei avanim hayu. There were three sets of stones. Each set is made of 12 stones. That is described very clearly by Yehoshua. If you look in the book of Yehoshua, when they actually did it and they crossed the river, Yehoshua tells the tribes, take one man from each tribe, and each one will go into the river and pick up a big stone. And again, that's not a natural phenomenon, because if you learn what the size of the stones were, the Gemara will tell us the stones were the size of a mikveh, arba'im se'ah. So for each man to carry one of those stones was not a natural phenomenon either. So the Gemara goes on. Shne'emar be'ever yarden be'eretz Moab ho'il Moshe be'eret haTorah hazot. The first set of stone, according to the Gemara, was in the Transjordan, on the east bank of the Jordan, before they crossed it. Moshe himself wrote the Torah on stones, and the Gemara learns it by a Gezeira Shava, because it says, Ho'il Moshe Be'eret haTorah. Moses explained the Torah. And the word Be'er is used later on, when they actually, in the time of Yehoshua, when they wrote it on, and we know that they wrote it on 70 languages, so we say Moshe also wrote it on stones, and he also wrote it on 70 languages. And the Gemara learned it by, I won't go through it, through a Gezeira Shava. So that's the first one. That's the first set of stone. Echad shehekim Yehoshua betoch haYarden. Then, when they crossed the river Jordan, and the Jordan parted and dried out for the Jewish people to cross, Yehoshua instructed to take 12 stones, and these 12 stones were not to be carried out of the Jordan, but rather to be placed on a to make a platform. 12 stones to make a platform for the Kohanim who were carrying the Aaron, who were carrying the Luchos and the Aaron, for which the river stopped when the Aaron, when they stepped in the river with the Aaron HaKodesh, that's when the river stopped, in order that they should be on a dry place. So he instructed the 12 stones to be placed for them. So that's the second set.
In
the river. Well, the river stopped when they stepped in with the Aaron, and then in order that they should be able to stand there while the whole nation crosses, so he put those stones there that they should stand on the stones. Ve'echad shehekim Yehoshua betoch ha'yarden, she'nemar, he learns it from the book of Yehoshua, 12 avanim hekim Yehoshua betoch ha'yarden, inside the river. Ve'echad shehekim Yehoshua ba'gilgal. The next one is, they took the stones from the river, they brought it over to the other side, and these stones eventually find their resting place where the Ohel Moed, where the sanctuary was going to be for the next 14 years, while they conquered the land and divided the land, which is in the city of Gilgal. That's where the Ohel Moed was set up there. So these stones were taken and left to rest in Gilgal. Shneimar ve'chtem esrei ha'avanim ha'ele asher lakhu min ha'yarden, which you took from the river, separate to the ones on which they stood. Hekim Yehoshua ve'Gilgal, Yehoshua took it and put it in Gilgal. But let me tell you the miracles that happened on that day. First of all, to get an entire nation of a few million people to cross the river, that must have taken them a very long time to organize it, to get everybody to cross. When they crossed and finished crossing, and they took 12 stones from the river, 12 big boulders, they didn't take it to Gilgal. They first took it to Har Eval and Har Gerizim. These two mountains, these two big hills, where the whole of Klal Yisrael had to stand there and hear to the Brochen and the Kalolos. On the west bank. So first of all, they crossed with the stones. They traveled with the stones to Eval, Har Eval, and Gerizim, which, if my geography is correct, is near Shechem. And that's not so near to the river. So that in itself is a phenomena, that they actually crossed the river, and on the same day they took the stones to Har Eval and Har Gerizim, get the whole community organized, that 6 tribes stand on that one and 6 tribes stand on the other mountain, and the Kohanim and the Levim are in the middle, and they had to read this whole Parshas Kitavo. That in itself can take a hell of a long time. So remember, they cross the river all in one day. They're crossing the entire river. Millions of people. Then they're transporting these stones to Har Eval and Har Gerizim in Shechem. Another long journey. And then on the same day when they finished, they dismantled the stones that they set up in Har Gerizim and Har Eval. They dismantled them. They then took them to Gilgal, painted it with lime, which we're going to learn in a minute, and wrote the Torah all in one day. Not a normal phenomena. The Gemara goes on and he says, "Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad katvu Yisrael et haTorah. How did they write the Torah on the stones?" Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Al gavei avanim katvuha. Directly on the stones they wrote it. Shneimar, how do I know?" This is Rabbi Yehuda. "Vekatavta al ha'avanim, you shall write it on the stones. Et kol divrei ha'Torah hazot. Ve'aharkach, afterwards, the Torah says, v'sadta otam basid, saduhu oto basid." They painted it with plaster. Amale Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, "Hold on. Lidvarecha, according to your interpretation, that the Torah was written on the stone, then covered. Mizbeach lamdu over the Kohanim et haTorah. Now, the Gemara is assuming that we know. What was the purpose, according to the Gemara, of writing the Torah on these stones? The purpose was to allow the nations of the world to come and learn it. And that's why it's translated into 70 languages. In order that all the nations of the world should have a second chance. They were given a first chance when the Torah was given on Har Sinai. Hashem went and offered it to all the nations, and it was rejected by them. A second chance is given that the nations of the world should be able to read their Torah in their language and study it. So, according to that, what was the purpose of plastering over the writing? They won't be able to read it. So Rab Shimon asked Rabbi Yehuda, what's the purpose of plastering it over? Amale, he says, don't worry. Bina yeter natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'odei kohavim. He says, Hashem gave a special capacity to the nations of the world. Bina, it's called Bina. That they should be able, first of all, they all found out what was going on. The news spread out quickly. And they all came out to see what was going on. And they were given the ability to know that there is a writing on the stone and that they have to take off the plaster in order to read what's under the plaster. The Shagru Notrin, they send these special Notrin, are people who are skilled in writing, that they should go and copy what's written and bring it back to their country in order that they should learn the Torah. Shagru notrim shelahem kilfu et hasid, they peeled off the plaster, vehisiuha beota shah, vehisiuha, and they took it back home. Says the Gemara, beota shah nithatem gezardin alovde kohavim lebe'er shachat. At that moment in time, when they were given this second chance to find out what God wants from mankind, and they missed this opportunity, they actually came, they copied it, they took it home, but they didn't learn it. Put it away. And that moment in time, a gzardin was made in Shamayim for the nations of the world, be'er shachat. They don't have eternal life. Comes Rab Shimon, because Rab Shimon hold that it was written on top of the plaster, not underneath the plaster. That's Rab Yehuda. So according to Rab Shimon, that was written on top of the plaster, he comes along and he says, Rab Shimon oimer al gavesit kadvuha, they wrote it on top of the plaster, the kadvu lahem lemata, and at the bottom of the page they put leman asher yelamedu etchem lasot ki. In order that the nations of the world shouldn't teach you, the Jewish nation, that we should not learn to do the abominations of the pagans of the time that they were doing. So at the bottom of each page, if they read the Torah, it was clearly written that we mustn't learn their pagan ways. So immediately they should have done tshuva and abandoned their ways and changed, but they didn't. Halamata, shim hayu chozrim b'tshuva, hayu mekablim otam. Said Rab Shimon, an interesting halacha. We were not allowed to take geirim from the seven nations that occupied the land of Canaan. You have to destroy them. However, had they at that moment in time decided that they want to do tshuva, and they would vacate the land of Israel and let the Yidden come in and accept Hashem, they could have done tshuva and they would have been accepted. That's Rab Shimon's opinion. Amarava bar Rab Shilo, my ta'amad Rab Shimon, what's the reason of Rab Shimon? Dichtiv, v'hayu amim misrefot sid. Said Rab Shimon, why are the nations of the world being judged at that moment in time that they should not have eternal life than the Yidden? Because it's written in Yeshaya, V'hayu amim misrefot sid, the people will be burned on account of the lime. on account of the plaster. Alis kesid. That's how he interprets that the Torah was written on top of it. Rabbi Yehuda amar lecha kesid. Ma sid en lo takana el asreifa. How do you make lime? You quarry the lime. You then have to heat it up, burn it. And then you grind it into a powder that makes this plaster. Like the seed has no way of using it unless you heat it up and burn it, so too the Umot HaOlam. Avotan of Deko Havim Elahim Takana El Asrefa. It's a strange thing that Hashem requested Am Yisrael that they have to write the Torah in stone and practically invite the goyim, all the nations of the world, to come and read it, and that they should have a second chance and have it translated into 70 languages. The truth is that there are many benefits for us too in having it translated into 70 languages. The Maharal of Prague, on his Chidushim on this sugya, he says, where was the Torah written? Moshe wrote it once on the Transjordan side, on the east bank of Moab. Yehoshua wrote it then again on the west bank as a cross. He says, either way, they were in the territory of Israel. And remember that although the east bank was not intended to be part of Israel, but when the tribes of Reuven and Gad and half of Menashe requested it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, and that became part of Eretz Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah on the east bank of the river, which became eventually part of Eretz Israel. So he writes, first of all, the Torah belongs to the land of Israel. In fact, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaye both write very clearly. If you look at the end of this parsha, where Hashem is instructing Am Yisrael to write the stone when they cross the river, it says very clearly in that parsha, Leman, in order that you should be able to cross and come and inherit the land. So what do they learn from there? They learn from there that the whole purpose of writing the Torah on stones was in order to merit the conquest of the land. In other words, we need the Torah to be written in something that you can't dispose of so quickly, and that would give Bnei Israel the koyach to conquer the land and have the zechus of having the land. In other words, the land of Israel is dependent on Am Yisrael having the Torah. That is how Rabbeinu Bechaye clearly says, and Ramban, and they learn it from the Torah, because Leman, it says at the end of the whole story, Leman asher tavo el ha'aretz, in order that you should come to the land. There is another benefit in writing it in 70 languages. Kelal Israel were destined to go in exile into all the countries of the world. And the fact that the Torah has already been written in 70 languages gives us the ability and the rishus to be able to study the Torah in all the languages of the world. Wherever the Yidden are, they learn Torah, they can learn it in the language in which they find themselves. Because Hashem Yisbarach gave the Torah in 70 languages. Therefore, there is a connection and a relationship between every country that we go and Torah. Because the languages of every nation have a shaykhus with the Torah. And that is what the Maharal of Prague is saying. The Torah may be written at the border, inside the land of Israel, but at the border. Why at the border? Because the borders are nearest to the outside nations. He says, the nations of the world have a relationship to the Torah. Strange concept he's telling us. I'll read you what he says. Ki ha'avanim ha'elu hem al gevul Eretz Yisrael, they are by the border, ve'lekach ra'ui lichtov ha'Torah sham, therefore it's fit that the Torah should be written there by the border, Ki ha-Torah tihyeh nichlal hakol. In the Torah, the whole of creation is included in the Torah. Bereishit bara Elokim, the whole of creation is told. So the words are written in the Torah, from that's the energy of creation. So the whole world, including the Umot Ha'olam, are related to the Torah in a way. Shehakol mitztaref elav, af ha'umot, including the nations of the world, are included in the Torah. Velekach amra Torah, therefore the Torah says, lichtov ha'Torah al ha'gevul, kasher yavriru et ha'yarden. Therefore, we were instructed to write the Torah on stones in their languages at the border, so it's the closest to them. Kasher yavru hayaden, sheyikru otam gam haumot, in order to enable the nations of the world that they should also be reading Torah. Somebody asked me when I learned this sugi, he says, well, we have a din, clear din, the Gemara in Bava Kama tells us, if a goy learns Torah, he's chayav misa. According to Rabbi Meir, no, he gets big zachar for learning. But according to all the other Tannoim, a goy is not allowed to learn Torah. Possibly the answer is that is for Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, goy is not allowed to learn. But Torah Shebichtav, they can read. And in fact, it's translated in all the languages of the world. For them to read, that doesn't make them that they're learning Torah that we have, because Torah without Torah Shebaal Peh, without that interpretation of the Torah Shebaal Peh, is not the Torah that Am Yisrael, which the Maharal himself says, what's the reason that Torah Shebaal Peh was given Baal Peh? Because when you have a very close, intimate friend, you have secrets amongst you, you have intimate things between the two of you, you have somebody close. Hashem is Barach with his intimate, close people, which we are to Hashem. We also have our secrets between us and Hashem, and that's the Torah Shebaal Peh, not written. Unfortunately, it had to be written because we were worried that through the exile we will forget it. But the Torah Shebaal Peh was intended to be Shebaal Peh. That's the intimacy between Hashem and us. It's not for the Umos HaOlam, but the Torah Shebichtav, they can have it. So according to the Maharal of Prague, it was written in 70 languages because the nations of the world do have a shaykhus with it. Now in this week in the week's parsha, the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaye both mention an ancient book called Sefer Tagi. The word Tagi means the crowns that you find on top of the letters. As you write the Torah in Ashuris, in the Sefer Torah, certain letters have got crowns called Tagin. So there is a very old book called Sefer Tagi. Not well known, it's a very small book. I found the book in this collection of ancient Midrashim. In it, there is this book. I looked at the book, and it discusses, the whole book is based on this episode of the stones. And let me read you the beginning of the Midrash. Haden Safre Tagi, this book called the Book of Tagi, the Asik Eli HaKohen Minyud Bet Avanim, Eli the Kohen took it out from the 12 stones, Shehekim Yehoshua Begilgal, which Yehoshua established, he drew, the word Asik means to extract. In other words, this medrash that he's now writing, how did Eli write it? He looked at the 12 stone, extracted all the teachings from it, and he wrote this medrash. Shehekim Yeshua Gilgal, Umisaro Lishmuel. Eli passed it on Shmuel, this whole tradition. Ushmuel Misaro Lepalti ben Laish. Shmuel gave it to Palti ben Laish at the time of King David. Palti ben Laish Misarole Achitophel, he passed it on to Achitophel, one of the members of the Sanhedrin. Achitophel Misarole Achiyah Shiloini, he passed it on to the prophet called Achiyah Shiloini. Achiyah Shiloini Misarole Eliyahu, Eliyahu Misarole Elisha. And he goes on telling the whole history, how these stones were preserved. In the book of Yehoshua, it tells you that the purpose of the stone was to remind Kelal Israel of the miracles that happened when they crossed the river Jordan. Because you look at those stones, you know it came from the river. It'll remind you of those miracles.
And Elisha passed it on to Jehoiada HaKohen. Jehoiada HaKohen to the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im then decided, we can't allow these stones to be lost. And they buried it inside the temple. Be'askupat bet Migdisha. Then eventually, the temple was dug. This part of the temple was dug out. And they found the stones in the time of the king Jehoiachin. And this was before they went into exile. At the time of the exile, just before the Churban, the stones were dug out. Yehezkel, the prophet, saw them and took them. And he took them to Babel, to exile. Ve'atya le'Babel. U'b'shne koresh melech paras, k'te'asik Ezra le'haden safra, ve'askel Yerushalayim. When Yehezkel was coming back from Babel, he took this book called Sefer Tagi. He took it with him and he brought it back from Babylon, back to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, this passed on to the Tanoim. The last one that's mentioned is Rabbi Nachum Halavlar Masarol Rabbi Yehuda. And there onwards, we do not know the history of these stones anymore. Obviously, the Tanoim have decided that it's time to bury them and hide them before we lose them for posterity, and they were lost. But the book that Eli wrote with all that he learned from the stones, we have. And in fact, the Gemara discusses that when Ezra came back from Babylon, they decided to write the Torah afresh. And the Gemara discusses that the Torah at the time was not written the way we have it. The Torah was written in those days, according to the Gemara, was written in an ancient script that was not a Jewish script. It's called Ketav Libuna, Ivrit. But it's not Hebrew as we know it. It's an ancient script. And there was a time to change it and to write it in the writing that we have called Ketav Ashuris today. And the Gemara tells us that they've forgotten certain letters, Mansbach, the final letters, and they've forgotten the crowns, where do they go? They forgot all this because in the other writing you didn't have it. And where did they learn it from? Ezra says that the prophets reinstituted. But Sefer Tagi says they took it from the stones. They went to the stone, they looked at the stones. Eli had already copied everything onto paper, and they took it from this book, Sefer Tagi, and the stones, and they managed to recopy the Torah. So basically, another lesson, another reason why the Torah was written in stone was to preserve it. In fact, the Iyun Yaakov, on the En Yaakov, writes that one of the reasons that the stones, it was written in stone, is because Hashem Yisbarach knew we were going to go into exile. And while we're in exile, the Goyim are going to try and actually take the Torah and distort it, and forge it, and adulterate it to their ways, in order to accommodate the Torah and their views, which we know they've done in the past. And the only way to preserve it is when it's written in stone. They won't be able to touch it, and they will not be able to change it. An important lesson that we should take from this episode, that the Torah was written in stones and was written in 70 languages, is that only through the Torah we have the right to Eretz Yisrael, and only through this all the nations of the world will subdue to Am Yisrael. In all the 70 languages will subdue Am to Israel, and only Am Israel. Very quickly, I just finish with a chiddush from the Ben Ish Chai on this sugya. The Ben Ish Chai says that the difference between the word seed, which is samech yud dalet, lime, the plaster that they covered the stone, it was written on lime, and the word yesoid is of letter vav, and he says we Am Israel, we have a Brit, which is a Yesoid. It's represented by the letter Vav. That's what represents it. The letter Vav means life, because Yesod gives life. He says, Am Israel are attached to life, because it says in the Torah, Ve'atem adevekim ba'Hashem Elokechem, we are attached to Hashem through the Torah. Hayim kulechem halom ayom, we're all alive. The Umot Ha'olam, we already learned, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both said, they were condemned at that moment in time because they did not learn the Torah, they did not accept the book that was translated for them. They have no connection with the letter Vav, and therefore they do not have eternal life like Klal Yisrael have. And that's what the Torah gives us. A connection to the letter Vav, which is a connection to the Torah, a connection to Hashem, which gives us eternal life.